This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Biggie, let's hit him big time.
Uh-oh.
Guess what?
There it is.
Guess what?
There it is.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
Y'all have great pulse of the city, and I really love listening to your show.
With John Lopez and Landry Locker, you're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader. Sports Radio 610.
One of the most interesting nights in the Deshaun Watson legal battle last night. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. So last night, Tom Pelissero tweeted out that one of the accusers in the Deshaun Watson legal battle, one of the 22, has decided not to pursue legal action. And in wake of, I don't even want to call it a judge ruling because it is the law that the defense at least needs to get the names. But one of the women who accused Deshaun Watson of sexual misconduct has dropped her civil lawsuits. There are believed to be 20 of the 22 lawsuits still remaining. They're still looking for one name. But the judge, after ruling last week that 14 needed to come forward, Deshaun Watson has 20 of the names. One is backed out, and one, they are still awaiting the name, so maybe she is considering it. After that was announced, Tony Busby,
man,
on Facebook said, quote, "Be careful what you ask for and more coming," exclamation mark, which had the internet going nuts and had a lot of people wondering what exactly Tony Busby meant by that. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Your reaction, John?
My reaction is Tony Busby is so confident in his case right now and how it is, the direction in which it is headed. He's talking trash. I mean, he basically said, here's another quote that he said. He said, "Watson and his counsel badly miscalculated. Today we are amending our petitions to include the names of the victims, even those not currently subject to court order. The message to Watson's team from these brave women is," quote, "be careful what you ask for." It's an intriguing case away from the obvious potential really bad things that happened. But it's intriguing because of Busby and Rusty Harden and the games they're playing with each other, the strategic games they're playing with each other. Tony Busby's going to walk into the courtroom like Conor McGregor. I mean, he's going to be swinging those arms. He's going to be cocky. We've touched on this a little bit, Landry. Is this all he's got? I think Rusty Harden continues to go back and do the things that he's great at, and he does them very well, and he had a really good Friday when he was, presenting the kind of the counterpoint. But Busby responds with another haymaker, man.
See, I disagree. I disagree with that. And I think Tony Busby, I think he's playing people for fools because most of us aren't legal experts. But if you actually listen to what Meltz has been saying, what Attorney Sam has been saying, those names were going to come out regardless.
No, it's not about the names.
So yeah, but I think Tony Busby's acting like, well, I ain't scared. Well, of course you're not scared because you had to give those names to Rusty Harden anyways. And I think – I heard it last week being mentioned as a huge win for the Watson camp. No, it's the law. Like, it's literally the law that when you accuse, you have to give the defense, the names. We've convinced ourselves and we've played ourselves to where it was some sort of win. That's just what the law is. And I think Tony Busby's playing with us so much that he's almost acting like he, because people feel like he did lose, that he just doesn't care. When really, I just think it was just basically some semantics and some theatrics.
I agree with what you said. Let me tell you why I think he's getting so cocky. Because, yes, it's the law. I mean, Rusty Harden was going to get these names. Tony Busby knew that. You and I knew that. And we just played lawyers on the radio. And we knew this was going to happen. Where I think he's getting confident, and he should be, is Rusty Harden, you know, put the pressure on him and continued to say anonymous this and anonymous that, because he was trying to get these women to back off the case. And so where I think the win is, you're right. This is no big deal. That's nothing to see here. Where I think Tony Busby is gaining confidence is one woman has, perhaps, we don't know exactly why she is no longer, it could be a number of different reasons, but perhaps backed out of the case because she didn't want her name out there. What I'm saying, though, is this is a huge win because he's got 20. If Rusty Harden thought, hey, maybe 15 of these women are going to back out,
shorten out,
and I can deal with four or five. Mm-hmm. So you're right. I'm not disagreeing with your point. That's 100% correct.
You're right, too.
What I'm saying
is right too.
He's confident because
he wasn't going for all 22.
If he thought Rusty Harden thought he was going to chip away, and maybe there was only going to be three or four ultimately, he's wrong.
Yeah.
There's 20.
He definitely is. And I actually went back and listened to Tony Busby's words last Friday amidst the 11 a.m. hearing after we had the 7:45 hearing. And the be careful what you ask for.
That's what I'm talking about.
He actually said that. And here was Tony Busby saying exactly what he said yesterday on Facebook. And I think this will give some clarity because there was some mystique when he put it on Facebook. And people, including myself, were wondering, okay, what does this mean? Does it mean more coming? This is what Tony Busby meant when he said, be careful what you ask for. And I think it adds to John's point.
Be careful what you ask for. Because all through this case, there's been this allegation that these people won't come forward because they're fake. And I was hoping I could just say, you know what, all that is mooted. In fact, an hour after that hearing, that particular individual said, I now feel emboldened. I now feel strong because of Ashley Solis and because of the other woman that has come forward. I feel strong now. Amend it and put my name in there. It could be that this is a moot issue, but certainly with regard to 9 of the women, it is a moot issue.
There you go.
So there you go.
And then it became 20. So that's where Busby is kind of McGregoring this thing. You know, he's flailing his arms. He's walking in like, I got this. Could still lose. But I can promise you Rusty Harden expected more than one woman to back out.
And here is Rusty Harden talking about these names being put public. And you tell me if Rusty is kind of making that assumption just based on hearing it now, at knowing what we know, compared to how it sounded 4 days ago.
When in all of the cases, if the women do decide to reveal their identities, to make sure that is just given between the two camps, but not made public, to, like you mentioned, prevent the women, if they are identified, from getting, like we saw today Mr. Busby say, that Ashley Solis has gotten rape threats. Are you willing to make sure that those names aren't public, but just revealed to you, to your team, and
no.
to your client?
No. The open courts provision and the statute and the law in Texas says we are entitled to know who the accuser is and is the public. The open courts provision is the public is entitled to know. And I would hope the only way these accusations or these allegations can be looked at as thoroughly as y'all have looked at us is for you to know who the accuser is, just like us. I think that when somebody makes this kind of accusation, it is only appropriate for people to look into the accuser as well as the accused. Because how else do you know?
Now, the laws are different, and that I fully expect, regardless of how, I think the names of some of these Watson accusers will come out.
They will
be made public. Because I know in Georgia with the Ben Roethlisberger case, there were no charges pressed. There was a police investigation. There were no charges. But they still released even the police video talking with the alleged victim just because they want the public to be able to make the call as to whether or not the law enforcement authorities and the prosecutors and all that made the right decision. So I think that's kind of the mindset. And it's really a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. It's not really a, you know, bang your head hand on the table, at least in, on my end when we discuss this, where, you know, you say, well, their name should be public if they say this, because we know the opposite side of that is a lot of times they do, you know, undergo scrutiny, and it does prevent people from coming forward. So there's a big gray area towards this, but make no mistake about it. These names,
yeah.
now that they're willing to put their names behind these lawsuits, assuming there's not a settlement, these names are going to come out. And maybe that's a tool that Rusty Harden and his crew do use, or I say crew, associates that they do use, in that maybe just the threat of that is kind of like some leverage they use. It feels almost dirty saying it, assuming it with all
right.
the assumptions, but that's the game that they're playing. Maybe just the threat of these names coming out is something that would lead to maybe a few settlements and maybe a few more people willing to kind of bail on the case, if that makes sense.
No, it does. And what we just heard was a power play. You know, he was attempting, rightfully, and because he's great, he did it the right way. He tried to leverage, you know, when the judge said, would you be cool with just keeping it among yourselves? He said no. He said no three times. And then he explained why. Because that was his way of trying to power play his way into forcing more of these women to go, uh-oh, I don't know if I want to deal with this heat, and back out. And that's why I say today, in light of what Tony Busby has announced, that 20 of these women are saying, we're good, and you can say our names, and we're not going to back out. That power play backfired.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. It is hump day. Stanford Route joining the show at 12:40. Astros, by the way, four straight losses. In front of fans, the Astros now, could I interest you in a stat?
Mm-hmm.
8 of 9 losses in front of fans. In that one win, you know who was in attendance?
Who?
Me. In those 8 losses?
That's right.
You know who was not in attendance? Me. So if there are any loopholes out there.
You're looking for some ducats?
That want to take Figgy and myself to the Astros game.
Yeah.
So that we can get back in the win column. Hey, I won't stop you from doing it.
Yeah.
713-572-4610. I mean, do you care about the team or not?
Yeah.
Do you care about the team or not?
Because, hook up my guys.
And by the way, I got to make a phone call during the break because I, along with many, I don't want to overreact to a stretch in baseball because that's dangerous. Any baseball guy will tell you that. But I might have to call and cancel that World Series parade that I was planning after Thursday night. Might have to just tell him to hold off on the balloons, hold off on the cars. No parade just yet.
Yeah, no, I still think there's somewhere in between what we saw in Oakland and what we've seen the last four games. I'm not worried about the Astros, but I'm a little bit uncomfortable with something, and that is the Crawford boxes getting into a first-time Minute Maid Park pitcher's head. Jake Odorizzi was just giving up Crawford shots like crazy, and it reminded me of someone. It reminded me of someone.
Oh, no. Are you talking about the great, late?
The legendary Jose Lima. I'm old enough to remember when Jose Lima went 21-10 in 1999. Then the Crawford boxes happened, and he gave up 48 homers. And it got in his head. I'm not saying that's what Odorizzi was doing. What I'm saying is that concerns me more than the Astros at large. Because he throws that four-seam fastball. He said after the game, he gave us an indication that it's already in his head a little bit. Did you hear him talking about Justin Verlander?
Yes.
He says, man, I got to talk to Justin Verlander about relying on a four-seamer.
He's
with
talking
the Crawford
about having
boxes.
To adjust.
I got to talk about adjusting. I'm like, dude, just pitch.
Already?
Just pitch.
Just chalk it down to the game, bro. Yeah. Chalk it down to one. You got a late
but
start.
That, to me, that's more concerning. A pitcher talking about, man, those Crawford boxes are killing me. If you put an accent on it, it sounded like Jose Lima after the first time he gave up some shots at Minute Maid.
You want to put that accent on it for him?
No.
Okay, there you go. Landry Locker, John
You
Buckles,
sure better not.
Figgy Fig, I am not. Not trying to get canceled.
LeBron better not.
As crazy as that theory is by Lopez, I have an even crazier one. Did the Texans actually, the Texans being Cal McNair and Jack Easterby, did they actually bail themselves out because of the Laremy Tunsil trade and not having the number 3 overall pick. Sounds crazy, but I will make it make sense next.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Number 3 overall pick was supposed to be the Houston Texans pick. Yesterday we talked about what could have been. It would have been fun to cover this, 100%. You always want to cover the draft. It's one of the biggest spectacles that happens on weekdays annually in all of sports. It is awesome. Here's Ian Rappaport talking about the number 3 overall pick that was supposed to be the Houston Texans pick and is now, this belongs to the San Francisco 49ers.
That pick is going to be the most fascinating pick we've seen in a very, very long time.
Yes, I agree very much, and it would have been even more fascinating had it been the Texans. I think in a perfect world, that is a dream scenario for the Houston Texans. Outside of having the number 1 overall pick and getting Trevor Lawrence, getting to choose between all of these quarterbacks and getting these extra pro days to evaluate quarterbacks as your franchise quarterback wants out of town and now is dealing with a legal battle and you're starting a rebuilding process, that would have been a dream scenario in a perfect world for the Houston Texans.
Absolutely. Doesn't make the bad situation go away, but certainly lessens the blow.
Now, as we know, though, this is not a perfect world, and this is not a perfect organization. And
we know that.
There are a lot of warts on the butt that is Jack Easterby as an executive and Cal McNair as the overseer of an NFL franchise. Over that 2-year period, from April of 2019 to the end of 2020, they have been one of the most dog-butted, poorly run organizations in the history of sports, and maybe the worst organization over a 2-year stretch in NFL history, which is saying a lot when it comes to dismantling a roster and making poor moves and giving away assets with little in return. We agree on that, right?
When you qualify it with where you were and how it was dismantled, absolutely. I mean, there clearly have been worse organizations in terms of wins and losses.
Now, I've been very, very down on the Laremy Tunsil trade. And I think that that's not hindsight from the beginning. I thought it was too much to give up for Laremy Tunsil. And because of that trade, you don't have this number 3 overall selection that everybody's talking about leading up to the draft. That stinks.
Yeah, it does.
But did it in a strange, twisted way. And this is where the conspiracy theory comes in.
Okay.
And I can see you're a little confused by where the hell this is going.
I always look that way.
But I do wonder if in a sick, twisted way, the Laremy Tunsil trade, one of the worst trades the Texans have made, actually bailed out Cal McNair and Jack Easterby. Allow me to explain.
Okay.
The talk about that number 3 overall pick right now is about Mac Jones from Alabama and Justin Fields from Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Fields appears to be gaining a lot of steam. There are a lot of people saying Justin Fields should actually be the number 2 quarterback
right
in this draft. And there's the talent and everything is being discussed when it comes to Justin Fields. And I think if we were talking about this pick, this exact pick that the Texans would have had, I think there would be a large majority. I don't want to speak for all the loopholes because you are individuals. Shout out to the loopholes if you listen, you are one. But I think there would be a large movement and there would be a large push and there would be a lot of dialogue to bring Justin Fields in to be the next face of the Houston Texans and to replace Deshaun
Watson. And I'd be
Watson.
At the front of that. I'd be at the front of the line. You know, I feel like he's getting shortchanged in his evaluation.
And you would have a lot of company in that. However, I wonder that if the Texans did like Justin Fields, with all of the negativity, deserved negativity, I should add, and animosity that people feel about the Texans organization because of the decisions they make and because of the way that this is orchestrated, that if Justin Fields, who is represented by David Mulugeta, who also represents Deshaun Watson, who also 2 months ago, or a few months ago, tried to force Deshaun Watson out of Houston, I just wonder if Justin Fields, who has a lot of teams that are interested in him, would have refused to play for the Houston Texans, much like John Elway did, much like Eli Manning did when they were in the draft, if Justin Fields would have done that. Because if that would have happened, and maybe it wouldn't have, maybe it's just different clients, different types of situations, but it's just hard for me to imagine that David Mulugeta would try to force Deshaun Watson out of town and then just throw Justin Field to Cal McNair and Jack Easterby. But if that did happen, if with everything we've had going on this offseason, and let's even put the legal stuff to the side. Let's just focus on what we were talking about before this, how bad this Texans organization had been run, and the fact that they were in a rebuild was an absolute disgrace and unprecedented. Could you imagine if with that number three overall pick, as you try to turn the page and you try to pass the torch from Deshaun Watson to Justin Fields, could you imagine how much of a disaster it would be for Jack Easterby and Cal McNair if Justin Fields was refusing to come to your organization, much like Deshaun Watson would want to be out of it?
I mean, that's a great point. I think it's valid. I think we'd be having that discussion. We'd also be having this discussion, which, again, Jack Easterby would be where he was for the longest time, back in the spotlight and not in a good way. Because I think people would be talking about, well, is Justin Fields a Texans kind of guy? Is he the right culture fit? Is he the right type of player? He hasn't had any big off-field issues, but he's been kind of a controversial guy. When he left Georgia, there was some talk about, you know, being sort of aloof and stuff like that. And so we'd be having all kinds of discussions. But the number one discussion is, hey, this guy is represented by David Mulugeta. And what is that relationship going to be like? Are they even having serious discussions to get him?
I just, again, we can't prove this, but before this Deshaun Watson situation, there was talk about David Mulugeta being transcendent and, you know, turning this into the NBA, where the players basically have, some people would say, too much control, and it negatively impacts the league from a competitive standpoint. I just don't see how, if David Mulugeta was still going on that high and he was one of the guys that was going to be able to do something that had never been done before, a 25-year-old quarterback in his prime, forcing his way out of town and basically pulling a James Harden, an Anthony Davis, name an NBA player. I just find it hard to believe that while eating that cheese, and I think David Mulugeta is damn good at his job. I think there's some criticism from members of the Watson camp that I think is valid with the way this is handled, but I want to make no mistake about it. I think David Mulugeta at times gets a little bit over the top on Twitter, but make no mistake about it, he's one of the best agents in the game. I mean, he has the overwhelming majority of – he has Kyle Pitts. I mean, he has most of the good players in this draft David Mulugeta has. Mm-hmm. So I'm not questioning that, but I do think while he's eating this cheese and he's kind of feeling himself, maybe you push it a little bit with Justin Fields. And if that was happening, if we were sitting here 2 weeks and a day away from the draft, and the Houston Texans, with all this Deshaun Watson drama, if they still had that number three overall pick, and Justin Fields was the guy, and everybody wanted Justin Fields, if with all this going on, I think if Justin Fields was refusing to come here, that might be in the nail in the coffin for Cal McNair and Jack Easterby for many Texans fans. The Texans fans who would be willing to flip the page and say, all right, I'm going to buy into this Justin Fields thing, on to the next one. Maybe he can give us the magic and provide us with the magic that Deshaun got us. But if he would have refused to come here with everything that we've already known and all the criticism, well-deserved criticism placed on this organization, I think that would be the nail in the coffin for a lot of Texans fans.
Even if it was just reported. You know, rookies, as I've often said, more often than not, unless you're, you know, John Elway and some others who have done that, who've put their heels in the ground like that, they tend to just go with the team that drafts them. But then there's this, what if they didn't draft him? Would people be talking about, I mean, they could very well easily have said, nah, man, we love
someone,
Chase Lane, whomever, yeah. But that's not what the discussion would have been. It still would have come back on Easterby's like, oh, now we know why you drafted that guy, because Justin Fields is represented by Mulugeta. It would have been a hairy scene,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. I think they dodged a bullet. I think Jack and Cal dodged a bullet. What about the third football idiot responsible for the Texans being where they're at? What about King Bill? Because there was a time where I was very pleased that King Bill was going to have to endure the wrath of Nick Saban. However, Maybe King Bill
what
is getting off easy working for Saban at Alabama. I will present the evidence next.
Just like to get together with you, maybe have a beer and...
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It, presented by Westside Lexus. You're in the loop on Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
I think when it comes to GOATs, there's really one GOAT that has been in Houston in the last couple of years, and that is Bill O'Brien. It might be a woat, it might be a goat, but when it comes to being the crappiest general manager, maybe in NFL history, he is the woat, the goat, however you want to look at it. I don't think anyone that
not
has
greatest
a rooting
of all
interest
time.
In the Texans. Yeah, he is an absolute goofball
when
it came to making decisions, trades, signings, all of the above. I don't think there's too many people wanting him to have an enjoyable experience in Alabama as the offensive coordinator for Nick Saban. There aren't too many Texans fans rooting and hoping for the best when it comes to Bill O'Brien.
I agree.
But I think he might be getting a breezy situation with Nick Saban that I did not see coming, but it appears to be forming in front of our very eyes. Bill O'Brien's nickname was what?
King Bill.
What was his nickname to describe his temper?
Oh, the teapot.
The teapot.
Yeah.
And we saw Bill O'Brien. He had problems with whether it was staffers that he would randomly cuss at out there and make them cry, whether it was media types.
How's that for an answer?
Whether it was other coaches, whether it was players, the J.J. Watt at the end. Bill O'Brien had a serious temper. Hell, his own son on draft day and Jack Easterby and all that type of stuff.
That's your draft pick.
Bill O'Brien had a problem getting along with people. And the possibility of King Bill having to get along with, in my opinion, the greatest college football coach of all time, but a guy with a little bit of attitude himself, a little bit of teapot in him, had me intrigued. Here's a little taste of what I thought Bill O'Brien was going to have to deal with when he went to Tuscaloosa.
All right, Coach, everyone had questions about who was going to start at quarterback when this game started. What answers did you have about your quarterbacks after watching both of them play tonight?
Well, I still like both guys. I think both guys are good players. I think both guys can help our team. All right, so why do you continually try to get me to say something that doesn't respect one of them? I'm not going to, so quit asking.
Poor.
Oh, my goodness.
Poor reporter there.
Maria Taylor.
Here's some more Nick Saban anger from the past.
Nick, you kind of repeatedly been a little bit critical of everybody beyond the first team, you know, or first grouping a little bit. Does that concern you? I mean, you got another week of preseason practice. Does that concern you at this point that there's not more progress from that second and third groups?
Well, I've been concerned about this all along. I mean, so I don't even know why you would ask the question, because you all don't think, you just think we just, you know, whatever happens, we just another player. All right, and everything's going to be perfect. All of our fans think that. You all think that. That's what you write about. That's the message that you send out there. And yeah, I worry about it all the time. I may be the only one, but I do worry about it.
God, he's so surly and good.
And that's what I wanted Bill O'Brien to have to deal with. I wanted Bill O'Brien to go to Alabama with Nick Saban, who's won 7 national championships, 6 at Alabama, and just be put in check. This was Nick Saban with our own Brandon Scott talking about bringing Bill O'Brien another teapot to Tuscaloosa as his offensive coordinator.
I wanted to ask you about Bill O'Brien and what are your general thoughts about Bill O'Brien as an offensive coordinator and what he could bring to a program?
Well, I've known Bill O'Brien for a long, long time, all the way back when he was assistant at Georgia Tech with George O'Leary. And I think he did a really good job, you know, in Houston when he was the head coach. I think when he became the general manager, you know, maybe, you know, things didn't go exactly like he would have liked, trying to have both roles. But
Having been a head coach in that league, I know how difficult it is to do both of those things, probably impossible. So based on the body of work up until then, I think he's an outstanding coach and a really good person. He's got a great family, and I think he'll do a great job with our players here.
It's a great answer. Now, that was about as good an answer as you can get from Nick Saban on a generic question like that.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Now, I don't know who the hell this new Nick Saban is. I don't know if he's eating the cheese. I don't know if he's just feeling like he's got things back where they need to be. But coming off that dominant run last year in a very stressful season, and coming off, this is saying something right here, the best recruiting class he's ever had.
Think about that. This past season, Alabama had the best class they've ever had. Alabama.
You're talking about a team that's getting like 12 5-stars a year.
Well, maybe it's 14 or 15 now. Seriously, they ranked that high.
Maybe Nick Saban's just feeling a little bit comfortable. But for whatever reason, I don't think that what we anticipated is what's going to happen with Bill O'Brien working for Saban. I think he's working for a calm-down Nick Saban. I will present the evidence to you. This was Nick Saban at a coaching conference the other day. The teapot got jokes.
Let me just say this. All right, all these offensive coaches on here, and I'm sure we got a few. I wish I could look at you when I say this to you. You guys are all part of the Taliban, man. You're a part of Al-Qaeda. You have changed our game and made it so hard to play defense for all of us poor defensive guys. You know, I can't sit in church without shaking my leg or my hand starts shaking because I'm worried about what you guys are going to do next. So I do respect you, but I still think you're part of the Taliban.
Taliban. Offensive coaches are the Taliban. He does, you know, plus keep in mind, it's off-season, Nick. And that's what I wanted to mention when you were talking about is Nick Saban going to insulate Bill O'Brien a little bit? You know, are they just going to be able to, is he going to take the heat and Bill O'Brien is going to be, you know, peacefully and comfortably in the background? The answer is no. Nick Saban is going to take all the heat. He is going to be out front. He always insulates his offensive coaches, all his coaches. But what we're not going to see, unless it happens on the sideline, which, by the way, that's a possibility, is the blow-ups and the arguments between Bill and Nick.
Well, damn.
We're going to see that.
I don't know. I don't know this Nick Saban guy.
You think Bill O'Brien is capable of just saying, sure, Nick, I think that's a good opinion. Let's just change everything that we're planning for this game.
I just don't know if Nick's as angry anymore. I feel like Bill O'Brien's working with a guy that's just in cruise control right now.
Mark,
and he's not in cruise control.
Biggie.
He's not in cruise control because he's not driven anymore. I think it's just becoming that easy for Alabama at this point.
Well, clearly Bill O'Brien has an easier job.
You remember when there was a 3-year stretch when there were actual jackasses saying that Clemson was the best program in college football because of a little, like,
they had a little run,
few years?
Yeah.
And it was like Alabama is just done. Is Nick Saban done? Is Dabo Sweeney? I mean, like, that was really being said.
Of course it is.
Because of a couple national championships.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, here's Nick Saban, best recruiting class, one of the best performances that you've seen last year.
Mm-hmm.
And he appears to be smooth sailing. It's cool ass Nick Saban that he's
working
with.
It's cool right now.
Exactly.
Let them be down 3 touchdowns in the first quarter.
You're going to see
that. That ain't going to happen.
They got to play the Aggies, man.
They will not be down 3 touchdowns at any point.
No. Even no matter the situation, they could be up 3 touchdowns. We've seen Nick Saban blow up with a 40-point lead. I've seen it with my own eyes. Like practically throwing stuff, blowing an absolute fuse. I'm here to tell you, I said it when we found out that Bill O'Brien got that job at Alabama. There's going to be a blow up on the sideline.
Okay. We'll see.
I don't think so.
I think there's going to be hugs, handshakes, dabs,
sure,
all that.
Sure. Can I introduce you to Bill O'Brien?
Can I introduce you to Exhibit B?
Okay.
We just heard Nick Saban cracking jokes with coaches.
Mm-hmm.
This is Nick Saban at a little fundraiser talking about his wife and how he picked up his wife. Not only is Nick Saban funny with coaches, He might have a future career as a stand-up comedian. Someone tell me who the hell this guy is.
When I was a kid growing up, my dad owned a service station, and we lived in the country. And my wife, I tried to date from the time I was in the seventh grade. She would never, ever date, never, ever go out with me. She had this guy named Mickey Schaefer that she was always boyfriend with. She was from the city. She went to East Fairmont. She was the queen bee, the drum majorette, and all that stuff. And, you know, I mean, I just could not get a date. And here I am, the country bumpkin out here, pumping gas every day. And it's, in those days, it's full service now. I mean, it's not like today. Somebody comes in, pumps your own gas, you collect the money. I mean, you had to clean the windows, check the oil, change tires, mufflers, grease cars. I mean, I was filthy, dirty, black fingernails all the time. Could never get a date. So finally, when I got in high school, we were pretty good. We were just a class AA school. She went to a big AAA school. We always played them, and we beat them like a drum. But she finally noticed me, and I finally got a date. And she had dated this Mickey Schaefer guy for like 6 years. So when we go back for this reunion, lo and behold, Mickey Schaefer owns a service station. And Terry and I have been married for 42 years, so however many that was, minus five. So I said, I am not going to miss the opportunity to do a drive-by. Just to make sure she kind of knows how she picked. So we drive by Mickey Schaefer's service station, and I said, see there, honey? There's your boy, Mickey Schaefer. I said, if you'd have married him, that's where you'd be now. She said, bull. If I'd have married him, he'd be the head coach at Alabama now. So,
Bill O'Brien's going to work for Kevin Hart.
Yeah, he is.
Like, he's not even working for Nick Saban. Bill O'Brien, that lucky SOB, jumped ship at the right time with the Houston Texans. Mm-hmm. He's going to get one of the premier jobs that you can have when you want to revive your career, offensive coordinator at Alabama. And he's working for Kevin Hart instead of Satan. That lucky, dog-butted, slimeball King Bill is getting off easy when it comes to abandoning the ship that he ran into the iceberg. This would be like the driver of the Titanic all of a sudden hitting the iceberg and then a helicopter coming down, him just hopping on the helicopter and going to some Bahamas island or something like that. I am so, as if it's not bad enough that I have to deal with all this crap that is left here because of the King Bill era. Now all of a sudden that guy is sitting there at an all-inclusive resort with the best amenities you can have.
Well, that's true.
And he is just chilling out, laughing, watching what's going on in Houston and enjoying himself. That makes me sick.
I kind of feel sorry for you sometimes. Nick Saban, first of all, is very, very charismatic when he wants to be. How do you think he has the best recruiting class in the country at Alabama?
He's at Alabama.
Because he's at Alabama and he can do stuff like you just heard. But when he's Satan, when he's in game, it's a whole different world. We've heard both sides of it. We've seen most of the other side. And from Bill O'Brien's perspective, Bill O'Brien is not going to change. He's still going to push back. He's still going to have his live wire, you know, dangling out there, and you know, anything can set it off. He's still going to be the teapot. It's going to be, first of all, you're right on one thing. It's a great landing spot for him. I mean, you can't ask for he's insulated. He doesn't have to be public very much. And look at who he's coaching. I mean, he can just say, guys, go play. You know, and they're going to win games. But because of his personality, they're going to butt heads, and we're going to see it.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig. I don't think so. I think it's going to be Cruz. I think B.O.B. might be smoking a cigar calling plays.
Yeah, sure.
With how easy this is going to be for him. And now he's got Nick
Saban.
Have
his hat on backwards?
Yes. He might start wearing the straw hat.
Oh, no.
Like Saban. They might become
Saban
best buds.
Saban wouldn't like that.
They might become best buds.
Are they going to get tattoos like Chris Sims and Kyle Shanahan?
They're not, but he's getting very lucky. What do you think Bill O'Brien is saying right now watching this? He's got to realize that he's the reason why, right?
What do you mean? Oh, this?
Yeah, is he such a delusional, meat-headed football idiot that Bill O'Brien is watching this and saying, well, it all came crumbling down when I left.
No, he's not doing that. I think he's just opinion. No one's told me any of this. I think in his heart of hearts, he knows that he bit off more than he could chew. He's heard Nick Saban say it. It's not just you and me talking about it. It's not just other people or fans or whatever. Nick Saban just said, you know, things changed when he tried to become general manager. Didn't work out the way he thought it might. And having been in that job myself, I know it's very difficult, maybe impossible. He's heard Nick Saban say, dude, what were you thinking? You know, in essence. So I think in his heart of hearts, he knows that he was half of the reason why this thing went to hell. Yeah, the other half is Jack Easterby.
He's 70%.
I don't know if I agree with that.
You're going 50-50.
50-50.
50-50.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got to put Jack up there. I'll give Jack 46.
46?
I'll go 46-54. Well,
Jack Easterby was doing everything.
Yeah. And I mean, I think Easterby is part of the reason Brian Gane got fired. And I think Brian Gane, a real general manager here, we wouldn't be in this position that we're in right now.
I'd be real interested to see what Bill O'Brien's true feelings of Jack Easterby are today.
Oh, they're definitely different.
They're different.
I mean, he's got to feel like he got somewhat backstabbed.
Yeah.
And I mean, Bill O'Brien, he can say what he wants. This is my own opinion. I think Bill O'Brien was one of the sources in the Sports Illustrated column with Jack Easterby because they made it a point. And again, we've had Greg Bishop on, and this is just my theory. I think Bill O'Brien spoke through his agent.
Yeah.
And everything that Bill O'Brien wanted to get out there got out there, which is why in the story.
Or his agent knew.
Bill O'Brien declined comment through agent because his agent only has his view. So I think that it's evident to me that Bill O'Brien at least feels some type of way about Jack Easterby. Who knows, though?
Oh, I agree.
It'll be interesting to see what happens with Saban and with O'Brien. We're about 4 months and change away from the start of football season, which is crazy.
One more thing about the Saban and Bill O'Brien relationship. It's obvious that Nick Saban has a high regard for Bill O'Brien as a football coach, but they're going to be, you know, they're dominant. They may well win another national championship, but they're going to be in some games. You know, they're going to be up against it here and there. Okay. Early in games, maybe halftime.
Okay.
I mean, it's the SEC. It happens every year. They had some slight struggles, and this was their easiest year ever. Mm. But they had some slight struggles this year even. That's when this thing is going to reach a tipping point. And I don't think Bill O'Brien is the type of guy that's just going to say yes, sir, to everything.
He needs to. If he knows what's good for him. I don't know if he will have to or not, but it makes me sick that B.O.B. is getting the funny Saban instead of the crazy Saban. But J-Lo says, stay tuned. There will be a blow-up between King Bill and Nick Saban. Coming up, Deshaun Watson has less cases against him today than he did yesterday. We'll give you the latest next.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.